Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I don't like singing Michael Jackson songs.
Okay, so pick a song. Okay, so sing an ABBA song. Go.
Oh, I was listening to ABBA just the other day and I was thinking, what's that song? It's If You Really Love Me, S.O.S. That's a great song. And, I was never a big ABBA fan.
But oh, I think, see, I grew up on ABBA.
How does that go? You know they've reformed.
Yeah, yeah.
They've literally reformed because there was a huge big split.
I just bought ABBA on vinyl.
Did you know that the dark-haired girl is a niece of Adolf Hitler? Did you know that?
You always have I just picked ABBA.
I think it's I could be wrong, but she is a relation of Adolf Hitler.
Excellent.
How's that?
Excellent.
Holy shit! I thought they literally had wiped that bloodline. I was watching something the other day about them, the wiping of that bloodline. It was a documentary about the nephew of Adolf Hitler.
All right.
That's a bit depressing, isn't it?
Isn't it?
You know?
So we went from ABBA to Adolf
Hitler. But if you really love me, what's the words?
I don't know.
You're
now.
So you got, shit.
No, I'm not.
You claim to be this big ABBA fan. You have ABBA albums in your house.
I bought it on vinyl.
Yeah, but if you read, give me another ABBA song.
Chiquitita.
I don't know that song.
Dancing Queen.
I don't know that either.
Oh, everyone knows Dancing
Queen.
Okay,
I may have sung that on a speaker in Connections Nightclub.
Can I just talk about something random?
In my chaps with my t-shirt off.
So I know we haven't, we've spent 5 minutes at the beginning of this podcast talking about random shit, but...
We better make this a longer podcast.
Did you know...
What?
Vinyl, because I listen to a lot of vinyl because I love the sound.
Yeah.
And apparently...
Don't tell me it gives you cancer or it's fucking bad for you.
No. Well, apparently it actually lights up and stimulates different parts of your brain than digital music does.
Oh,
and
really?
I love it. I love putting on a record and just it's just amazing. Right. Years ago when I was teaching, one of my friends at school, we were all around at his house and he had these two speakers and a vinyl.
Yeah.
He had an album and I can't remember who it was, but it was female vocals and he put on these speakers and the sound that came through those speakers just was piercing.
Incredible.
And yeah, I grew up with vinyl, so I just love it.
Wow.
So I bought myself a record player and I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's totally off topic.
What are we meant? So, what is the
I don't
topic
know what
today?
We're. I don't know what we're talking about. What
so we were.
Let's talk about something.
What did I say? I was going to talk about. We were going to talk about. We were going to talk about people setting a vision for their lives, right, and having a dream of something that they want to achieve, and why so many people
don't achieve it.
Well, fail. Miserably.
Okay, don't achieve it, fail miserably.
Well, I mean, you have to understand you have to understand that I have this knowing that it seems in society that mediocrity and failure has become the norm. It seems in society that people, you know, like there was stats put together of... there was 100 million people got involved in the collation of these stats. And it turned out that 87% of them said that they were unhappy in their lives and they were unhappy with life and what they did and felt as if they had given up and that they were unhappy. 87%. I mean, that's a huge stat. You know, that's a lot. That's a high percentage. So the question then is that tends to feed into the fact that perhaps... You know, failure and mediocrity has become the norm for people. Like, we're in a society where, you know, you'll get to your deathbed and you will feel as if you didn't quite achieve the things you wanted to achieve. You didn't quite do the things you wanted to do.
Mm.
You know, you didn't quite become the parent you wanted to become. You get there and you feel like you let them down in some way. And then, this is a bit pointy, right? But if that's the case, you know, if we look at our parents... Are our parents our best role model? Like, would you hire your parents to be your best role model in life? Would you want your child to turn out like your mother? Would you want your child to turn out like your father? It's a pointy question, right? But when you sit and think about it, when I sit and think about it, you know, if I'm really, really honest, I would not want, I love my father. I love my father, but I would not want my kids to turn out like my father. If I'm really, I know it's hard. I know it's tough. If I'm really honest, I love my mother. Don't get me wrong. I love my mother, but I would not want my girls to turn out like my mother. So I don't know.
I put to you then that you're, so this is going off topic, I think, but I put to you then that you, are you clear with your mum or are you clear?
Well,
with
you know that I've done a stack of work on my parents.
Of course.
But what I'm saying is that just because I'm clear with them and I love them, if I'm really honest about being really clear with them, there are, you know, I know that they would not be the best role model for my kids. I don't believe they were the best role model for me. It doesn't mean that they got it right or wrong, but it means for me that I, you know, I wouldn't want my kids to turn out like my father.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to challenge that.
That's fine. But I wouldn't want my kids to turn out like my father, and I wouldn't want my kids to turn out like my mother.
Mm.
And, you know, I want my kids to have a better life than I have am having, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, I think, would I want my kids to turn out like me?
Well, that's why I'm challenging it.
And I don't think I would want my kids to turn out like me.
Mm.
I would want my kids to be the greatest version of themselves. So if
I agree with that.
If you want them to be the greatest version of themselves, you don't want them to turn out like yourself.
Yeah, but of themselves, right, is one thing. But saying that the parents weren't great role models, I'm going to challenge that because I'm going to say that if you're saying that, I suggest that you have still aspects of that, of them, that you're not clear with. Because if you were fully, fully clear with it, and I don't get me wrong, I know you've done your work and I know how much work you've done, but if there's still aspects of that, then I would challenge that you haven't done something to make you realise that if they were to be the best, if the kids were to turn out like your parents, that they wouldn't be doing the best, they wouldn't be the best role models. Because then you're saying that they weren't the best role models for you.
No, they were a role model for me. But I think that, you know, if I could redo it, would I say that my parents, if I could have picked a role model, a role model, I don't think my parents would have been the best role model. Not because they did anything right or wrong. It's just as a person, I want my kids to have a better life than I had.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that if we don't know where we need improvement, then we would never grow. And I think that there are things that, you know, how my parents handled money has determined how I handle money. How my parents had my parents' levels of self-worth has determined my levels of self-worth.
Yeah.
So there's a perfection in what has gone on, 100%, unquestionable.
Yeah.
But would I want my son to turn out like my dad? Now, there's nothing wrong with my dad. There's nothing wrong with my dad. But I want my son to have a better life. So I don't believe, I feel that because of this thing of, you know, I know my father's going to get to his deathbed and feel unfulfilled. I know he is.
Yeah, but
I know there's certain things that my father will, to cover certain, like there's certain, my father wants to travel the world, but he doesn't because my mother doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, I know that he's going to get to his deathbed feeling as if he didn't get to do the things that he wanted to do. So therefore, he has had to have picked that up somewhere. I think when we look at role models, we need to aim higher than the role models that we've had.
So here's the thing, right? I'm going to let me challenge something and then we'll be able to
continue. I understand that you're challenging.
Sorry. And then we can continue with the rest of the podcast. Okay. You don't like being challenged. there's the two sides of that coin, okay? Yeah. There's the side where, in essence, I think that if you're in that moment of equilibration,
totally. Yep.
That you would not want to change anything.
Yeah, you see the perfection.
You see the perfection in it. So what I think you're saying is that in your experience, because you're a human being and as much as you love and you see the perfection in everything that's happened, that in your experience, because we're human beings, we have a desire to want more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what I'm challenging is the equilibration moment. So I think that I can back off on the challenge because we know that in the equilibration moment, in that moment, there is nothing to change. If you, if Ollie turned out like Eamon, you would be proud in that moment because you would know that everything is perfect.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So, but in experience, right, as human beings, knowing that we want to keep growing and evolving and improving, that in that there is definitely stuff that you see would you would prefer your children to have a different understanding of life or a more evolved understanding of life or a better understanding, whatever way you put it, than your parents did. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. And but even in terms of a role model, I mean, our father's faults and our mother's faults are what we learn from, right? Yeah. But if we want to aspire to something greater, I don't know whether they qualify really as a good role model. And I don't believe, you know, I'm doing the best that I can with my kid, right? My kids, yeah. God, we better, Angela, if she hears that, she'll kick the shit out of me. Huh? But I just feel that I'm starting to realize if I want to be able to be the best role model for my kid, that I have to punch higher. I have to push harder. I have to do everything that I can because I feel that in some way, you know, it's an honor to be a parent, right? It's it's an honor to be a parent. But I feel that I want to push my kids to greater role models. I want to push my kids to see, listen, I am not the be all and end all. I can only do my best, but you got to aim higher.
But then you're hypocritical. You have to aim higher.
Totally. I just said that. I got to punch higher above my weight.
You're the only person that can affect
but I
the
wanna,
level that your kids achieve is what standard you set based on your own things. So
totally
basically, in all of that stuff and all of that jumbo, what we get from that is the fact that you think that regardless of what you do, that there is improvement that you can do and because as a result of that, your kids, your grandkids, the people around you will have a better experience of life.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying that you could improve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and I think I want the kids to understand that as well. I think it's important for me for my kids to understand. Listen, we're only doing what we can do, and all we can do is push hard, and all we can do is be the best at ourselves as we possibly can be.
I think kids pick that up though when you're communicating with them about your day to day. Kids pick that stuff up. Like Lexi will ask me something, for example, and I'll be able to say, I didn't get that right or I did get that right or I can communicate that to her. And if I can't communicate it, my ability to communicate I think is important and I appreciate that about myself, right? But if I can't communicate, she will automatically pick that up and she'll be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ability to communicate that assists in their understanding of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The fact that you can communicate, hey, I could have done better there. Or, yeah, this happened to me in the past, but I realized this and I got stuck in that point and I was, you know, it took me ages to get past that, you know, hiccup or that hurdle in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So we communicate that and our kids see that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Yeah, and you've got to be able to have those conversations with the kids. You've got to be able to have hold that and keep
it up. Where's this whole role model thing coming from then?
Well, I was listening to a podcast the other day and I was thinking, Christ, that really makes a lot of sense because realistically, if I ask you, would you like to turn out like your mum, or would you like to turn out like your dad? How would you answer that question? Do you believe that they were the greatest role model, or could you have had a greater role model?
But when I honestly, Mitch, when I think of that, I think that if my mum was anything other than what she was, I wouldn't be here.
No, I get that. No, that's not what I'm saying.
In my experience, like as you're saying it, I go back to that moment.
But you feel sad for the way some of the things that turned out in your mind.
But I did. I used to.
And you feel sad. For, no, no, no. But you still do. I mean, there's still stuff there that you go, because I have the conversations with you. You say it to me. There's still stuff there. I mean, with your father, would you want to, could you have had the chance or the choice to pick a better role model? I mean, do you see that in some way they're not really, and it's not to say that they're good or bad, but they're not really qualified. And I wonder, shit, you know, we get kids and a lot of the time we're not really qualified. We're not really qualified.
Oh, look, I understand that. You know? I totally get that. Mm. That aspect, of course. But when you say the role model, I can't go past the fact that I could.
Is it that you won't go past because you feel as if you would be letting her down? No. Or
years ago, that would definitely be the case. That is not the case now.
I think you're not articulating it correctly.
You're not asking the question correctly because I can't see that.
Could they watch? Put it this way: could they have handled things better? Did they shrink when they shouldn't have? Were there things?
Okay, so when you talk about it like that, yeah, and you say, you know, did they get angry? Did they shrink? Did they do? Of course they did all of those things.
Yeah.
But they also did the other stuff as well, right?
Yeah.
So when you put the whole thing together, I can't see that the role model scenario is – like if I'm – me saying it was wrong or it could have been better is me – but going back to
nobody said wrong. No. And nobody said better.
Yeah, you said better. You said they could have been better. And so then
then it's my languaging that's getting it wrong. Because I think that the way I'm seeing it is that there comes a point where we have to get that and let them go. And find a role model in our lives or find something that we want to aspire towards that is greater than that. But I think a lot of time people are so still emotionally caught up in their parental stuff or in their sibling stuff or in their relationship stuff. They're just caught up in that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
So therefore, there needs to be a time where we have to go, listen, I love you. I love you. But I have to let go a little bit. Of trying to be something for you to make you feel happy, and I have to just be something for myself.
No, I understand that, and I 100% agree with that. But
that's your journey. I don't agree with it fully, but I get what it's about, and I get what it gives you. And it's not for me to try to take that away from you or give it to you. But there's a place I want to get to that this behavior no longer is going to help me to get there. Or it's helped me to get to this choice where I have to change my behavior.
Yes, but that doesn't negate the fact that they're the perfect role model.
No. And no, watch, for me personally, it's I get that in that moment it's perfect, but we don't live in that moment.
Yes,
we don't live in that moment. But I've had that. Okay, I get what they did. Was absolutely necessary for me to be here now having this conversation with you to go, right, I'm at this, I feel I'm at this new level now where I'm starting to realize that we have this attachment to our parents and the people around us and I have to just be the best me that I can be now.
So what I do, so I feel like we're going around in circles, but what I do agree on is that we subconsciously attach ourselves to and have the loyalties to their position in life. Yeah.
So we subordinate.
So we subordinate. So 100% I agree with that. And also we whatever's happened for us and whatever their choices have been have led to our choices to go and search and find different friendship groups, role models, financial mentors, whatever, they have led us to go and find role models in other areas, right? Mm. But so I 100% agree with that. And I 100% agree that as human beings, we are always looking to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking to grow. And as a result of that, we do whatever we can and we are looking to do whatever we can to find the best fit for us in order to help us to grow. Would you agree with that?
Totally.
At the moment, I'm using my hands a lot, forgetting that I'm on audio, not on video. So what I would, in my view and how I see that is, they are the best role models based on the fact that they have gone and allowed the space for us to be and for everybody to be what, for us to go and find what we've needed in other areas. Mm-hmm. If I was to say that I wouldn't want anybody to be like my mum, which is where we started, or be like my dad, where we started, or whatever, then I would be negating my own growth and my own ability to be able to do that, my own ability to go and find exactly what I needed. So I'm staying staunch on the fact that, yes, they were the best role models, because they were the best role models for me to have everything that I have in my life. That doesn't mean that I'm not wanting to improve.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that I don't want to grow. That doesn't mean that in certain points of my life I will choose other mentors and other people that will help me to grow past the loyalties I have with certain people. But that doesn't mean that they are bad role models.
Yeah, I think that how can I put it? I think that this whole I understand. I understand what you're saying. I think that in essence we're all the same, right?
Yeah.
But in existence we're different. We're different in existence.
And which is the equilibration moment, not the equilibration moment, is what you're saying.
Yes. And
in essence, we're all the same.
Yes. And we started off by talking about a society of people that settle for mediocrity. And it's become the norm that people feel as if, you know, I'm not going to get there. I'm going to have to bury my dreams. I've got to give up on my dreams. I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I've got families. I've got kids. So people give up on their dreams.
And I agree with that.
And I think that, you know, I see that my father gave up on his dreams. And I love my father.
Yeah.
And I get that enabled me to go, okay, I don't want to do that. But I sometimes feel as if, you know, it can be sneaking in on me. But in him giving up on his dreams, I've gone for my dreams.
Mm.
But I wouldn't want my kids to turn out like I've turned out.
So who would you want? Who's a good role model? Tell me how do you choose a role model then? If it's not your parents, if it's not you, if it's not, where are your role models?
Well, I think that the greatest, we all build our role models based on people that we look up to. So I don't have one role model in my life. I have numerous people that I go,
fair enough, we all do, I think. I
like how that human thinks, and I like how that person pushes me, and I like how what I'm hearing. And so I think that to name one is just futile. But I think that ultimately we have a part of ourselves that we want to be a higher part of ourselves that we want to connect with and we want to be like.
Well, right? I agree.
So when we do that and we have that higher part of ourselves and that higher person that we want to be like, if we don't have a method to get there, if we don't follow a system or behaviors to get there, well, we have two of ourselves. We have the person outside of ourselves. We have the person outside of ourselves that we feel we're not. So we started this talking a little bit about vision and visionary.
We might have to do that on another podcast.
Yeah, but we might. And or else this might just get chopped in half and go into a double one. It doesn't matter. But I think that because we're face off of the other side of the table here, Milson.
You know, we're both folding our arms at the moment.
This would be a good stop. And then, you know, for next week, tune in to when Mitch and Mills actually strangle each other in the cutting room floor. But I think that, you know, one of the things I find with people is working with people is they set this person outside of themselves that they want to be. And this person outside of themselves that they want to be is a plus person. And they're trying to get there, right? When they do this, they talk about it publicly.
Yeah.
They go, this is a public plus person that I want to fucking be like.
Yeah.
The minute they do that, the opposite occurs privately.
Yeah.
So the minus part turns up inside of them, where every morning they start to ridicule themselves and beat themselves up, right? And because they're ridiculing themselves and beating themselves up privately, because they're not at this person that they've publicly spoke about positively,
yeah.
what happens is that they have this vision for themselves that they feel they're never going to be able to get to.
Yeah.
So many people do that.
I agree with that.
So many people fucking do that. So how do you stop that? So many people wake up every morning and they're conflicted. They've conflict going on inside of their minds based on the fact that they are a person that they want to, that they're being, and there's a person outside of them that they want to be.
Yeah.
So the greatest role model that a person should have in their lives should be a piece of all of the role models that they have. But the greatest role model that you should have in your life is the role model of yourself that has a method and a way that you're going to fucking get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So this is the difference between having a vision for your life and being a visionary about your life.
Well, so you need to explain that. But what you need to explain, I suppose, is that the difference is that one of them is just sees an image of an outcome. The yeah. other one sees a process by which to achieve that
yes,
outcome.
Yes, a step-by-step process. And then in that process, knowing there are certain times and people and places and information you need to pick up along the way. And the people that fill those times and places and information are your role models. Does that make sense? They're your role models of so we have many role models in our in our way. So a visionary knows that whatever side of the bed they get out of each morning, you know, they know it's the right side of the bed because everything is about
because they've stepped it out. They've created the recipe to get to the
When you fucking step it out, there is no room for conflict because there's no conflict. Does that make sense? Because you fucking know this is where I'm going. Yeah. This is the information, this is the place, this is the stuff I'm doing.
I agree.
So I think the greatest role model we should have in our lives is the connection to the highest person that we want to be.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But rather than as opposed to individual, yeah, okay. I'm caught up on this role model thing still. I'm totally am because I think you've implied that there is a particular role model that you can have that is going to be plus without a minus.
No, I'm not.
And there is no possible way.
No,
that that's possible.
No. I mean, if anybody who fucking knows that that's not what
I understand that, but right. That's what my challenge is when I'm hearing you say about your parents or about anybody else. The role model that we have and the role models that we have along the way, anybody, they're going to have pluses and minuses.
Yeah.
You cannot choose a role model that's going to have only one side.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying, though, let me see if I can interpret. What you're saying is that as we go through this process, if we want to create the best example of our lives that we want to create, we can't just have the image of what we want our lives to be, which is just having a vision, mm-hmm. right? We need to be able to step it out along the way. And the best role model that we can have then is the role model of ourselves, right, doing the very best we can do. And if we haven't done, if we haven't got a step-by-step plan to get us to the outcome that we want, right, we haven't done the very best that we can do. Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yes.
Right. So then, right, it regardless of even if you've done the best that you can do, there will be, because as you grow and evolve, there are always going to be, you are going to go to your deathbed with unfulfilled dreams.
Yeah.
Everybody is.
Yes.
Because there's always that next place, that next level. So just because your dad did it, your mum did it, other people around, we're still going to do it because yes. that's the nature
yeah.
of us. We cannot control everything. But what you're saying is that the level at which we progress through our lives and the quality of unfulfilled dream that we have
mm-hmm.
is going to impact the quality of dreams and unfulfilled dreams that our children will have and that their children will have.
Yeah. And remember that an unfulfilled dream, right, an unfulfilled, like to fulfill a dream, yeah, it's not just I get to the destination.
No. It's about the planning out along the way.
Because a lot of the time, we were speaking about that this week, a lot of the time people mistake progress
with the destination.
With the fucking destination. They have a little mini win. They think, hey, I fucking got there. There, you know, if you understand energy, there is no death.
Yes.
We do not die.
100%.
It's death is a complete lie. It's just nonsense. That's another fucking that's another hole in the desk that we can jump down, but it's just bullshit. But the question is then, along the way, did you have, were you a visionary? Not a did you have a vision? Because lots of people get to their fucking deathbed with a vision. Go to a graveyard. You're stepping over visions.
Agreed. Yes.
Unfulfilled.
Agreed.
So I think that as a parent, you know, as a parent, you got to understand that you're not going to get it right. Therefore, you don't. I don't want. I will sit with my kids and go, I am not the best role model for you in terms of this. There are certain things in owning that part of myself and being able to say that. I know that I will set them free, because I'll be able to say to them, find your role models, find your teachers, find your mentors, know your destination, find your method upon which to get there, follow that method meticulously, have enough self-worth that you will never ever veer from that path. You have to have that path. You're not here to veer from that path. Love yourself enough, understand what your values are, you know.
So if you go and say that to your children, you understand that they're not going to hear you.
No, you right to- now Ollie's going to go hit me on the head with his shoe.
I mean that the only way that you can impart that
is to do it myself.
To do it yourself, 100%.
Yeah, okay. I got to do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then they are inspired to go and have the best lives for themselves.
Yes.
That's the only way you can do it. Yes. You can't squeeze it into them.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to
So therefore, if they're going along, so this is probably going to go into a second podcast now. We'll just keep going. Just to keep going. This is good.
Okay.
So if we go along, right, and we're going along and therefore I lost it there and it was good. We have to have enough self-worth ourselves to be able to let our kids go, right?
Yes.
To be able to say, no, you've got to fall. You've got to do this yourself. But I think we also have to have enough self-worth to be able to go, you know, because some parents... some parental relationships are toxic. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this.
Yeah.
Some of them are toxic.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't like that word. I've never liked that word, but I understand the concept.
You get my point. Yeah. Some of them are toxic.
Yeah.
You know, because we lose, but you can let the behavior of a parent go in love. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
And then understand and in deep appreciation and understand that, you know, this now is actually stopping me from fulfilling my vision.
That's a natural part of what happens in the growth of a – that's a natural part of what happens as we grow, because as we grow, we subordinate to different levels. And as we start to grow at a certain age.
But just because we subordinate, it doesn't mean that we let go of our loyalties.
No, I understand that.
You know, so it doesn't, you've got to be clear in saying that this naturally happens, because it doesn't naturally happen for everybody. You know, I meet people in their 60s that are taking care of their toxic mother who's 85 that has told them they were shit all the way through their lives and has never had.
What's the point you're making?
Well, they've never. Well, the point is that. You know, you have to have enough self-worth to be able to know that you know, if you have to let your kids go, you got to let them go. If you got to be able to say to them, listen, in terms of this, you need to go find a role model. Like, I can't get onto a tennis court with you and show you how to do forehand.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So you have a talent. You can do this. But you've got to go and do it, and you've got to find it yourself. I can help you to find what I think is the best, but even my opinion may not be enough.
Yeah,
you may need to do your own research.
Understood, yeah.
Makes sense? And it's the same the other way around. There comes a point where, you know, people feel, oh, my God, I have to be loyal to, you know, loyal to my parents, and I have to take care of them, and I have to do all of these things. And not realizing that taking care of them is taking you from doing what you love. If you really, the only thing your parents want when you get, as they get to their deathbed, is to know that you let them go and that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can show them early in the game, then it frees them.
Yes. Definitely.
Does that make sense? If you can show them early in the game that you were woman enough or man enough to go and say, guys, I love you, but this is where I have to go.
Mm.
And then they know, whoa, there's something changes for the parent. The parent feels, fuck, they're going to be okay.
Mm.
You know, they're going to be okay.
Yeah,
you know, because I watch in my own family dynamic that my parents baby my siblings. you know, and they're all about, you know, and if, you know, it's, I look at it and I think you let them fall. They have to fall because they have to learn to pick themselves up. If you keep running in and catching them, they're never going to learn to fall. And so they're never going to get ahead. So they're incongruent. They're not doing what they love. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I think that, you know, I've had numerous occasions where I've sat with my parents and gone, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Mm. You know, you have to let them fall. And even with me, you know, I've sat with them and gone, no, this is my stuff. I have to learn this. Don't make this your stuff. This is not my stuff. So, you know, ultimately, I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when we have to be able to have the balls ourselves as men and women as we get older to be able to, you know, go for our dreams, have a vision of what we want, build the path there, plan it out, so we become a visionary. And it's okay for us to be able to have the tough conversations, you know,
but sometimes it doesn't take a conversation, Mitch. Sometimes it takes just action.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just action. Sometimes
I agree. I agree.
Sometimes
with
that. You don't need to have that conversation with your parents. You just step up and you just do it.
Yeah, I agree.
And you
with
just
that.
Have a plan for your life. Yeah. And then you lead by example.
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, there's times, like I said,
but I mean, ultimately,
you will, and sometimes where you
won't. Because ultimately, I've been thinking, you know, why has mediocrity become the norm? Why has mediocrity become the norm? Why do people do that?
But that goes back to what we do for a living, which is that people are caught up in mm-hmm. the loyalties, and mm-hmm. that's something that when you have that shift and when you have that breakthrough, mm. then at that point you can set yourself free.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you get caught up in the mindset of what an 8-year-old thinks. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough, etc. So yeah, that's my thoughts.
Okay,
that we rambled a bit on that one, but that was good.
Wambled,
and that was good.
Okay. Boom.
Boom.